إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 15th session with the explanation of the brief essay of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Wasiyyah al-Sughra, the concise legacy or advice. And the explanation is from Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Our topic tonight is a very important topic, that is how we should view wealth. And along with that, making the Akhirah our greatest concern. Making the Akhirah, the next life, our greatest concern. And of course, yani this is something that we are all yani at least familiar with. And probably we've heard before, but tonight I would like to ask that we all yani carefully examine what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is presenting in this brief answer to one of the questions that were put to him, yani how he summarized the issue and brought out a number of very, very important points and reminders for us that hopefully, inshallah, if we accept it and take it to heart, perhaps, yeah, it will be a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and correcting and rectifying our situation in this world so that we are yani in a better position in the next life. Before we go on to the topic for tonight, inshallah, we want to look quickly at some of the issues that we dealt with last week in the 14th session from the questionnaire study guide. The first question being, mention the third question addressed by the author, that is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, from Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti, rahimahullah, along with the author's initial response. Yani the third question that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah addresses, along with the author, along with his initial response. Naam, Abu Jamil.
He asked him that he make clear to him the best ways of earning sustenance.
Naam, to make clear what are the best ways, or what is the best way of earning one's sustenance, of earning one's living, the best way of doing so. That was the question that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was given. Naam. And as far as his initial response, Naam, Mustafa. He said to put your trust in Allah. Naam. What else? Naam, Abu Bakr. Huh? Al-thiqa bi kifayatihi. Naam. Wa husnu? Husnu dhan bihi. Yani, His initial response is not the answer to the question, but it is a clarification as an introduction to the answer to the question. Clarification of yani one of the most important issues that a person yani has to be aware of before they actually go out to seek their livelihood. Yani that what? The first yani introductory statement before the answer, he said, to put your trust in Allah, tawakkul ala Allah. And this is the first issue, that you should put your trust in Allah, depend upon Allah, rely upon Allah. And al-thiqa bi-kifayatihi, that a person has trust and confidence, faith in Allah's sufficiency, that Allah will suffice you, that Allah is able and He's willing and He has promised and He will keep His promise to suffice you, and if you do your part. And finally he said, husnul dhan bihi, yani that a person have good expectation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that they know that Allah is capable, Allah is able to do with them whatever it is that they expect from Him. Yani that if you do good, Allah is able to return good with good. And likewise, yani the opposite. This is the first part of the introduction, yani to this issue. The second question. Briefly discuss what is meant by the expression at-tawakkul ala Allah, and when is the worshipper in need of it? What is meant by at-tawakkul ala Allah, and when is the worshipper in need of this tawakkul? Naam, Musa.
Putting his trust upon Allah.
Naam. The worship of putting one's trust in Allah. At-tafweed. Tafweed al-amr ila Allah. That everything you surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam.
The worshipper is in need of that in all of his affairs.
And when is the worshipper in need of it? Always. In all of one's affairs. Worldly affairs and religious affairs. In all of one's affairs. With no exception. You're in need of putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally, absolutely, relying upon Him alone. Question number 3, how can we correct those who claim that everyone needs to have a thiqa bin nafs, yani self-reliance? How can we correct those who claim that a person should put their trust in themselves? Yani they should have self-reliance. Now, Mustafa.
Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may you do, O Allah, don't lead me to myself even for blinking my eye.
Yani, how we correct them? By reminding them of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he supplicated and with which we supplicate inshallah every day in the Adhkar al-Sabah. Yani, O Allah, do not leave me to myself even for the blinking of an eye. Anybody memorize this in Arabic? Naam, Abu Bakr. Naam, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr. A few Abu Bakrs. Now I'm getting a little confused. Naam. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. La takilni.
Allahumma aslih li din al. Allahumma is aslih li.
Aslih li.
Aslih li shani kulli.
Shani kulli.
Wala takilni.
Wala takilni.
Wala takilni ila nafsi tarfata
ayn. Ila nafsi tarfata ayn. Yani, the meaning, O Allah, correct for me my affairs. And do not leave me on my own, to myself. I need to take care of myself even for the blinking of an eye. Also, yani, the fourth question, memorize the dua of the Prophet ﷺ that he used to recite every morning after Salatul Subh. Yani, after Salatul Fajr. Yani, the hadith of Salama. It's reported by Al-Imam Ibn Majah. Naam. Fadl.
Allahu inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqan tayyiba wa amalan mutaqabbala.
Naam. Somebody else, memorize it. What is the dua? Naam, in the back. What's your name, Aki?
Wamik.
Wamik, naam. Jayid, mashallah, ahsant. Somebody else? This is a very important dua. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite after the dawn prayer every single day. Every day. Yani, according to the narration from Salama, yani, when he used to make taslim, yani after finishing the prayer and making taslim, yani saying assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah to the right and to the left, then he will supplicate with this supplication. Along with other supplications. Yani, but that was the way that he would start his day. Oh Allah, what? I ask you for ilman nafiyan, yani beneficial knowledge, wa rizqan tayyiban, and good provisions, wholesome, pure, lawful provisions. وَعَمَلَ الْمُتَقَبِّلَنَ And deeds that are accepted. Accepted. Not just to do deeds, but deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. Question number 5. What must follow a person's dua to Allah and request? Yani a person supplicates to Allah and asks Allah for one's needs to be fulfilled. And what should follow this dua, this questioning, this yani request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sayyid Abu Jamil.
The slave should exert the asbab conditions of the passageways to attain that which they ask for.
To exert oneself with the asbab, yani the causes or the means to attain that which you are asking for. Meaning that a person asks Allah for something, then after that, they must themselves do the things that are within their means. Yani take hold of those things that can help them to achieve what they are asking for. Or what they are asking for protection from. Yani to do something, to utilize the permissible, legislated means to achieve that which you are asking Allah for. And this is in every type of supplication, not only in asking for provisions. Yani not only when you ask for provisions, you have to go out and do some work, right? But in everything that you ask for, you have to do something. Now, question number 6. Complete the hadith Qudsi. O my servants, all of you are hungry except يعني blank, and all of you are naked except blank. And this is the hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, reported by Imam Muslim rahimahullah. Anybody? نعم تفضل English. Okay. All my servants, ya ibadi, all my servants, every one of you is naked except those who have clothes. Now.
And every one of you is hungry except those who are fed.
And every one of you is hungry except those who have fed. So there's a few words, yani, also that can complete the meaning here. It's very, very important. Abu Bakr.
Then he says, ask me to clothe you, I will clothe you.
Naam. Yani, oh my servants, worshippers, every one of you are hungry except the one who I have fed. So ask me for your food, and I will feed you. And oh my servants, every one of you are naked except he whom I have clothed. So ask me for clothing, and I will clothe you. And this is very important because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that everyone's condition is the same. Nobody has food, clothing, or anything except that Allah has given to them. So Allah is saying, since everything that you have, it came from me, so when you're in need, ask me. Why should we ask someone else? When Allah is the one who gave us, and Allah is the one who gives us, and Allah is the one who has control over the whole affair. This requires some reflection, huh? Please, yani, be careful that this doesn't just go past us. Question number 7. Memorize the dua. O Allah, there is nothing easy except that which you have made easy, and you are the one who, to the end of the supplication. And this supplication is also very important supplication. Naam, Musa.
Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. Wa anta taj'alul hazna sahla iza shi'ta. Wa anta taj'alul hazna iza shi'ta. وأنت
تجعل
الحزن إذا شئت
سهلا. نعم. يعني this also is from the statements of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and from his supplications that make us to understand the importance of the reality. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا. يعني there's nothing easy except that Allah has made it easy. يعني everything in life that's easy is only because Allah made it easy. But it's not only that, but further than that, the Prophet ﷺ went on to say, وَأَنْتَ تَجْعَلُ الْحَزْنَ إِذَا شِتَّ سَهْلًا. And you are the one who makes difficult things easy, if you will. Meaning that even that which we find difficulty in, if Allah wills, He can make that easy also. He's the one who made everything easy, easy, and He can also make difficult things easy if He wills. Yani, the taysir, yani the ease, the facility, is all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Very important dua. Question number 8. Mention the ayah, which is a proof that after praying, one must go out and seek the bounty of Allah. From Surah Al-Jumu'ah, 62nd Surah, 10th ayah. Yani the ayah which is a proof that after praying, the person has to get up, go out, and seek the bounty of Allah. Naam. Help us in the back, somebody. Other than Abu Bakr, Abu Jamil, and Musa. And Mustafa. Naam. Okay, no, it's not that. Ayah from Surah Al-Jumu'ah. From Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Naam, Abu Jamil.
فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
Naam. The meaning, huh, is what? إِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ. When the salah is finished, yani when you finish performing the salat, then go out, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Go out into the land. Go out of the masjid. Go out and seek the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And remember Allah
a lot. So you may be successful. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, and I remember the first time I read this book, 10 years ago or so, and when he said this, it was like stunning to me. And he said, this ayat is revealed in reference to Salatul Jumu'ah. Naam, it's in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. But the meaning of it is applicable to the salawat. The 5 prayers that we pray every day. And that's a fact. And then we discussed it in some detail last week, but now, yani the supplication that the Prophet ﷺ used to say when you enter the masjid, when you leave the masjid, which indicates this meaning is not just for Jumu'ah, but that is for every prayer. Question number 9, discuss the example given by the Prophet ﷺ, which illustrates this point. What is the example illustrated? Yeah, Mustafa. Al-Kabir, the elder.
Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the birds the example who go out in the morning.
The example of the birds who go out in the morning
with empty stomachs.
With empty stomachs.
And return later full.
And return later full. Now, the example of the birds. And they go out with empty stomachs, but they go out and they seek their provisions and they come back satisfied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, full stomachs. Anybody memorize this hadith? No. لو أن, the Shaykh mentioned it like that now, but actually in the hadith, لو أنكم توكلتم. But alhamdulillah, that's the way it came in the book, no problem, go ahead.
لو أنكم توكلوا على الله حق توكلي رزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماسا وتروح بطانة.
نعم. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لو أنكم توكلتم على الله حق توكله. يعني if you people, يعني servants of Allah, if you were to put your trust in Allah the way He deserves, حق توكله, the way He's supposed to be trusted and dependent and relied upon, then He would definitely provide for you, just as He provided for the birds who go out in the morning, khimasan, with their stomachs empty, and they come back in the evening, bitanan, with their stomachs full. What an example. These are only birds, and we are human beings who willingly comply and submit and surrender and worship Allah. Not by instinct, but by choice. And the last question explains the qa'idah. Al-amru yaqtadi al-ijab or al-wujub. In light of the ayat in the Quran, then seek provisions from Allah in Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th, Surah 17th ayat. In light of this ayat, يعني فَبَتَغُوا إِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ. In light of this ayat, what is this principle? Al-amru yaqtadi al-wujub. What does it mean? What is the meaning of the ayat? Naam, Abu Bakr.
It means asking Allah for your rizq is wajib.
Naam. It means that, yani the principle itself, al-amru yaqtadi al-wujub, means that the command necessitates, indicates al-ijab, yani al-wujub, that something is obligatory. Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a command in the Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us a command in the authentic sunnah, this indicates that that thing is obligatory upon us. It means that it's obligatory. So this ayah, فَبَتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقِ, then seek your provisions from Allah. It means that then it is obligatory then on the Muslim to turn to Allah and to seek their sustenance and their needs and whatever yani is in their interest. It is obligatory upon us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek the fulfillment of those things. These are some of the issues that we discussed last week and tonight. Inshallah, bi'idhin ta'ala. We want to complete this question and complete the discussion or the answer of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah with the second introductory comment, yani second clarification that he makes before coming yani with a brief answer to the original question of what is the best yani means, the best of the means of seeking a person's provisions or livelihood. If you're reading from the original translation of this book, The Concise Legacy, that was published in 1994, then we're going to be reading from page 21. You can find this topic, page 21, yani under the topic that we started last week. In the last paragraph, third line on page 21, it starts there. We're going to read from tonight, and it goes to page 23, to the top of page 23. And if you're reading from the more recent publication of that same translation, but it has some modifications in it, from Dar es Salaam, then you can find this topic on page 70, from the middle of the page to page 72. And if you're reading from the Arabic explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, then you find it from the middle, the bottom half of the page 62, to the end of page 65, from page 62 to page 65. And the Shaykh begins, قال رحمه الله تعالى ثم ينبغي له أن يأخذ المال بسخاوة النفس ليبارك له فيه ولا يأخذه بإشراف وهلع. يعني شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله goes on in his answer to this question to say, ثُمَّ يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. Then it is incumbent upon the person, yani who's seeking means of livelihood, to take the wealth, بِسَخَاوَةِ النَّفْسِ, meaning with a spirit of generosity, yani with an intent to share, to give from the wealth that they collected, not to hold on to it, to pile it up and store it up. And this should be the spirit that the person comes to when they're seeking livelihood. To collect the wealth with the intent of spending it in the way of Allah. Using it for yourself, for your needs, and then sharing it. Yani the spirit of generosity. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liyubarak fi, lahu fi. So that Allah will put the barakah in it. Meaning, yani Allah will increase it in good. And if a person comes with this spirit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it in good. And he should not take it bi ishrafin wa halan, yani with a spirit of, yani the opposite of being desirous and covetous, yani being, having like a burning anxiety to get at this wealth. Yani I just gotta get it, I gotta have it. And like we find in the world today. This is how, yani a person should come when they go out to seek wealth, their livelihood, their provisions. بَلْ يَكُونُ الْمَالِ عِنْدَهُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْخَلَاءِ الَّذِي يَحْتَجْ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَكُونُ لَهُ فِي الْقَلْبِ مَكَانًا. Yani, the person should seek wealth with the spirit of generosity, so that Allah may bless it, and not just being desirous and covetous of wealth just to collect it for themselves. Rather, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, بَلْ يَكُونُ الْمَالِ عِنْدَهُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْخَلَاءِ الَّذِي يَحْتَجْ إِلَيْهِ. Rather, the station or status of wealth with a person should be like the station or the status of the place where you go to relieve yourself, the bathroom, which you are in need of. And a person is in need of the bathroom, right? مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ فِي الْقَلْبِ مَكَانًا. But that bathroom doesn't have a special place in your heart. Your heart is in love with the bathroom. Like you love your children or your spouse. Or you love something that is of value. And if the bathroom is something you need, but your heart is not attached to it. This should be the view of wealth. That wealth is something you need in this world in order to live, to go and come and eat and take care of things, right? You need some wealth, but your heart should, it shouldn't have a place in your heart. And your heart is attached to it. You're in love with it. I mean, that's the core of the matter. وَسَعُوا فِيهِ إِذَا سَعَى كَإِصْلَاحِ الْخَلَىٰ. And if you strive in seeking wealth, yani if you should do that, then the striving should be like the fixing or repairing of the bathroom. Meaning that if the bathroom, if there's something not working, you have to fix it, right? Because you're going to be in need of the bathroom at some point, right? So you have to fix it, yani because it's necessary. Not more than that. Here, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in his answer, he mentions a hadith from the Prophet, a saying from the Salaf, and an ayah from the Quran. Huh? A hadith from the Prophet, a saying from the Salaf, yani some of the scholars said that this was from Mu'adh ibn Jabal, yani almost a statement like this, which Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions here, and an ayah from the Quran. In the hadith that is marfu', الَّذِي رَهُ أَتِرْمِذِي أَنْ غَيْرُهُ, yani reported by Tirmidhi and others, the Prophet ﷺ said, and this wording of the hadith, we're going to look at some of the other wordings which are a little bit more clear, but this is the wording that came in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. مَنْ أَصْبَحَ وَالدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ حَمِّهِ شَتَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَةً. And whoever got up in the morning, whoever reached the morning, having وَالدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ حَمِّهِ, while the dunya, the worldly things, is the most, the greatest, his greatest concern. And you started your morning, your greatest concern is the dunya. شَتَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَةً. Then Allah will divide up, scatter his affairs. وَفَرَّكَ عَلَيْهِ ضَيْعَتَهُ. And Allah will also, yani, separate, yani his, yani the things that are in his interests, his needs, yani his actions will be all divided up and divergent. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُتِبَ لَهُ. And nothing will come to him from the worldly things. He will not get any of it except what is already written for him. Yani what has already been decreed. No matter how hard he goes out seeking it, he's not going to get any more than what was already decreed. Work yourself to death, you're not going to get any more than what was already decreed, guaranteed. So why then this great concern and eagerness and covetedness to seek the dunya when you're not going to get anything in this world except what Allah has already written for you? Getting it lawfully or unlawfully, you're not going to get any more than what Allah has already written for you. Then why go the unlawful way? You're not going to get any more Rather, whatever you get unlawfully, if you had obeyed Allah and sought it by lawful means, you would have got the same. No more, no less. It's already decreed. Then he says, وَمَنْ أَصْبَحَ وَالْآخِرَ أَكْبَرَ حَمِّهِ. But whoever reached the morning, while his greatest concern is the next life, the hereafter, جَمْعَ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْلَهُ وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather, will unite his affairs for him. And Allah will place غِنَاهُ, yani his contentment in his heart. Not in his pocket, in his hand, in his desires. Rather, his heart will be content. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. And the dunya, the things of the world, will come to him even reluctantly. وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. Meaning the dunya, even though it doesn't want to come to you, it will come anyway. Because Allah has made it like this. It has to. Like it or not, you will get it. وَقَالَ بَعْدُ السَّلَفِ. And some of the people from the Salaf, the predecessors, righteous predecessors, said, yani one of them, meaning Mu'adh ibn Jabal, this was yani his statement, the meaning of it. أَنْتَ مُحْتَاج إِلَى الدُّنْيَا. You are in need of the dunya, no doubt. وَأَنْتَ إِلَى نَسِيبِكَ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ أَحْوَج. But you are more in need of your portion of the hereafter. Yani you're in need of the dunya, but you are more in need of your portion of the hereafter. فَإِنْ بَدَعْتَ بِنَسِيبِكَ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. So if you begin by seeking your portion of the next life, seeking the things that earn the pleasure of Allah and the reward in the next life, مُرَّ عَلَى نَسِيبِكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Then your portion, yani seeking your portion of the hereafter, will take you by, pass by, and collect your portion of the world. فَانْتَظِمْهُ انْتِظَامًا. So put it in its place, yani your portion of the worldly life and seeking it, put it in its place. Meaning, get it with the minimal effort. Don't make it the priority. Put it in its place where it belongs. If you seek the akhirah, then whatever is for you in the dunya is going to come. Whereas the opposite, if you seek the dunya, your whole heart is devoted and your effort devoted to seeking the dunya, you will never get the akhirah. And finally he said, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Surah Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 56th Ayat, and 57th and 58th, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I have not created the jinn and men except to worship me. Except to worship me. This is the purpose of our creation. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَن يُطْعِمُونَ. I do not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I do not need from them provisions, nor do I need from them to feed, yani me, themselves, or anyone in the creation. Allah is sufficient for those He have created to provide for them. In Allah, huwa al-razzaq. Allah alone is the provider. Dhu al-quwati al-matinu. Yani Allah is the one who possesses strength, and He is strong. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, this is the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and this is the core of the matter, yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the saying of the Salaf in the ayah from the Quran. Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says, here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah makes clear, bayan and akha, another clarification. Yani after the one that we talked about last week, that the first thing a person has to think about when they're seeking their livelihood is putting their trust in Allah and having confidence that Allah will be sufficient for them and having husnul dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here's the second clarification or second muqaddimah. He says, bayan and akha, another clarification. Al-bayan al-awwal, in his answer, the first clarification, and his answer to the question of the questioner about the best means of seeking one's livelihood is connected to, yani the first clarification or the first introductory comment was, is connected to at-tawakkul ala Allah. Yani having trust in Allah and turning to Allah for one's needs. وَبَذْرُ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمَشْرُوعَ. And exerting, yani the means, utilizing the means that have been legislated lawfully by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to achieve your means. This is the first clarification or the first, yani muqaddimah, introduction. The second one, yani now, that we want to discuss tonight, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, rahimahullah, ثَمَّ يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَأْخُذَ الْمَالِ بِالسَّخَاوَةِ النَّفْسِ لِيُبَارَكْ لَهُ فِيهِ وَلَا يَأْخَذَهُ بِإِشْرَافٍ وَحَلَى. Yani the second clarification or the second introductory statement, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, then it is incumbent upon the person to take this wealth with a spirit of generosity, with an intent of sharing it, so that Allah may place blessings, yani a lot of khair in it, and do not take it being desirous, greedy, yani just aspiring to collect wealth for the sake of collecting it. The answer to the original question, what is the best of means, is coming afterwards. However, these are introductory statements that a person who is going out seeking tijara, trade, or in any of the fields of earning one's livelihood or seeking provisions, these are introductions that a person in this position is in need of. So when we know that لَمَّا دَخَلَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ فِي التِّجَارَةِ بدون هذه المقدمات دخلوا في مداخل سيئة جدا. يعني many of the people who entered into trade or any type of seeking livelihood without these ideas or these introductory statements that Shaykh al-Islam is bringing, without this clarification, then they have entered into many paths or affairs that are very, very evil. وَجَرَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَطَاتْ عَظِيمًا. And they have fallen into many difficult situations that are hard to get out of after they got into it. يعني في مكاسب محرمة, in unlawful means of livelihood. وأعمال محرمة, and actions that are unlawful. وطرائق محرمة, and ways, يعني roads, paths that they took which were haram, because they didn't what? First and foremost put their trust in Allah and enter into the seeking of wealth with the right spirit. With the right spirit. And the wealth is just something that you need for some time. It's not something that you should fall in love with and become overwhelmed by, so that you lose your mind seeking a dollar or two or three or whatever. For this reason, every person who enters into trade is in need, in reality, of these two introductory affairs that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah began with. Al-Muqaddima al-Ula, the first introductory statement or the first clarification, is in reference to التوكل على الله, putting one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and exerting, utilizing the means that have been legislated lawfully to seek livelihood. والمقدمة الثانية, and the second introductory statement or clarification, is that a person should take this wealth بسخاوة النفس, يعني with a spirit of generosity, with intent to share, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place blessings in it, and not with يعني a spirit of greed and impatience and being desirous and covetous of wealth. This means that لا تكون نفسه فيها هلع وخشع وطمع وإشراف للمال. يعني that a person, their nafs in seeking wealth should not be يعني in a condition or in a state of greed, يعني desirous of just seeking wealth for wealth's sake, but rather the self should take this wealth بسخاوة, with a spirit of generosity. And that this wealth, لا أن يكون هذا المال هو أكبر همه. يعني, your greatest concern should not be getting this wealth. That should not be the most important thing in your life. Nor should, ولا أن يكون هذا المال أيضا هو مبلغ علمه. Nor should this seeking wealth and the means to achieve it be the extent, the scope, the full range of your knowledge. Meaning that all you have knowledge of is how to get this money. And some people, they know all the means of getting money, all the details, lawful, unlawful, yani international, local, whatever. They have all of this kind of knowledge. They know all of this. And in reference to that, yani the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْغُضْ عَالَمْ بِالدُّنْيَا جَاهِلْ بِالْآخِرَةِ. It's a hadith sahih. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah hates, detests, عالم بالدنيا, the person who knows all the worldly affairs, وجاهل بالآخرة, but they know nothing about the deen, about the next life. Have you ever seen a person like that? I mean, plenty of people like that. We're talking about Muslims, right? Because the kafirs, they don't know anything about the akhirah aslan anyway, right? Talking about Muslims, they know everything about the dunya, but nothing about how to earn the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, this hadith mentioned by Shaykh al-Bani in Sahih Al-Jami' Al-Saghir. The Shaykh, he says, and in the dua, yani don't make the wealth your greatest concern. And in the dua, it's mentioned in the dua, authentic supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very, very lengthy supplication. And part of it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya akbar hammina, wa la mablagha ilmina. Allahumma la taj'al ad-dunya. Oh Allah, do not make the world, the things of this world, our greatest concern. أكبر حمنا ولا مبلغ علمنا. nor the extent of our knowledge. That's yani, our only concern is getting things, worldly things, and our knowledge is only of the worldly affairs. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, rather the person who's seeking this wealth should take it with the spirit of generosity, so Allah may bless it, and not with the spirit of greed. بَلْ يَكُونَ الْمَالَ عِنْدَهُ yani, this is the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, the Shaykh is going to explain it. بَلْ يَكُونَ الْمَالَ عِنْدَهُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْخَلَى. Rather, the station or status of wealth should be like the bathroom, the toilet. This is how we should view wealth. Shaykh Abdul Razak says, وَهَذِهِ سَعَبَةٌ جِدًّا. Yani, looking at wealth like this, like it's nothing but like the bathroom, the toilet, this is sa'ab jiddan. Yani, to take that kind of view, this is the real view of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is nothing but like the bathroom. It's something that you need some from time to time, and that's it. It's not the love of your heart. The dearest thing to you is the toilet. No, that's the way money is. The Shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ سَعَبَةٌ جِدًّا. This is difficult. It's not easy. Yani, the kalam about this is sahal. It's easy to say it. But the tatbiq, the implementation of it, is another matter altogether. And I'm reminded of the Shaykh Muhammad Amin al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya, the great scholar of tafsir, who taught for many years in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he probably the greatest scholar of tafsir in this era. And they said that his attitude towards money was like this. He didn't know the difference between a $50 or 50 rial bill and a 100 rial or whatever, or 10. He didn't know the difference. Rather, when the money came to him, his salary or whatever, he used to spend on his house what he needed, and the rest he just gave it away. He didn't care about money. He didn't care about money. He didn't even have when radios first came out, he didn't have a radio in his house, they said. But if he wanted to listen to the news, he would ask them to bring it in. He would listen to the news and put it back outside. This is how it was with the dunya. But for us, yani, the tatbiq of this, yani, we can talk about it, but to do it, that is the challenge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. Who will execute this? The Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says in his book, or the Shaykh is saying that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said in his book, Al-Ubudiyya, when the issue of wealth came, and wealth is called wealth because it, yani, it's called mal because it yamilu bi sahibihi, yani, it causes the person who has it to incline in a different direction away from yani uprightness. He said that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his book Al-Ubudiyya, when the issue of wealth came, he said it is incumbent upon the person to make wealth like the himar that he rides for some, a donkey that he just rides when he has a need to go someplace. Or to make it like the what is placed on the floor that you sit upon. Yani the cloth that you put on the floor to sit upon. Then he said, La, بَلْ يَجْعَلْهُ مِثْلَ الْكَنِيفِ. He said, no, rather that's not sufficient to make it like a donkey or like the carpet that you put on the floor to sit upon. Rather it should be like the toilet, the kanif. Yani this is the status of wealth. And in the with the believer, the one whose heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here in this wasiyah sughra, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah left the example of yani of viewing wealth like the donkey that you need to ride sometimes, or like the farash that you put on the floor to sit upon, and he went straight to the example of the toilet, the bathroom, the place where a person goes to relieve himself. He says, Al-khala yahtajuhu al-insan liqada hajatihi. Yani the toilet is something that a person needs to qada hajatihi, yani to take care of his need, to fulfill the call of nature. Huh? Relief. To relieve yourself of waste. You're in need of it for that. And wealth also, the wealth of a person, liqada hajatihi, is for the same reason, just to fulfill your need. You have a need, you just need to fulfill it. That's it. Yani whatever a person is in need of, he needs wealth to take care of the need. That's it. يَقُلُ الَّذِي يَجْمَعَ الْأَمْوَالِ. It is said, yani that a person who is collecting wealth, he says, مَالِي, مَالِي. Yani my money, my wealth. However, مَا الَّذِي لَهُ مِنْ مَالِهِ. What is it from his wealth that really belongs to him or her? لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ مَالِهِ إِلَّا مَا لَبِسَ فَأَبْلَى أَوْ أَكَلَ فَأَفْنَى أو تصدق فأبقى. يعني this is the meaning of a hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Shaykh is mentioning the meaning that a person doesn't have anything from their wealth except that which one wears and it became worn out, or that which one eats so it is consumed, it's gone, or that which one gives in charity and that is what remains with him. And this is the meaning of a hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and it is reported in Sahih Muslim and by Imam Ahmed from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet said, the abd says, my wealth, my wealth. وَإِنَّمَا لَهُ مِنْ مَالِهِ ثَلَاثَ. And from his wealth there are really only three things. مَا أَكَلَ فَأَفْنَى. That which he eats, so it's consumed, it's gone. أَوْ لَبِسَ فَأَبْلَى. Or that which he wears, so it became worn out. أَوْ أَعْطَى فَأَقْنَى. Or that which one gives away to others, and therefore this is, aqna means abqa, this is what remains with him for himself. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ فَهُوَ ذَاهِبٌ وَتَارِكُ لِلنَّاسِ. And whatever is besides these three things, then it's gone. It is just that which you leave behind for the people, yani for your inheritors. And the Shaykh says, yani this meaning, yani also, yani whatever remains of a person's wealth, even if it is millions, it doesn't yani belong to you, rather it belongs to your inheritors. And for this reason, the person who collects wealth is called the khazin. Khazin means what? The storer, the storekeeper, the one who yani stores the stuff up, takes care of the storage, whatever you put in storage, right? He's just a khazin. His affair, yani his job, his responsibility is to store the wealth. Person who's collecting, just the whole life collecting money, that's all they're doing is storing it up for somebody else. Yani collecting wealth for his inheritors. And this is like the poet said, أَمْوَالُنَا لِذَوِي الْمِرَاثِ نَجْمَعُهَا وَبُيُوتِنَا لِخَرَابِ الدَّهْرِ نَبْنِيهَا. Yani that our wealth, we are only collecting it for those who are our inheritors. And our homes, we are only building it for it to be destroyed in time. So why waste your time? I'm saying that. That's not from the Shaykh, from the poetry. Why waste your time then? Collecting it for somebody else. Building it for what? For it to be destroyed. Rather, a person should engage himself in that which is lasting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, so that wealth should be having the status of the bathroom that a person is in need of without it having a place in one's heart. It doesn't have a station or status in one's heart. So the summary of this advice of Shaykh al-Islam and Taymiyyah is that wealth should be in the person's hand, not in one's heart. Yani wealth should be in the hand so that a person can fulfill their needs. Yani to take care of that which is in their interest, that which benefits them. It should not be in one's heart. That which should be in the heart is الَّذِي خُلِقَ لِأَجْلِهِ وَعُوجِدَ لِأَجْلِهِ. That which we have been created for. That which we have been brought into existence for. And that is العبودية والخضوع والذل لله سبحانه وتعالى والانكسار بين يديه سبحانه جل وعلا. Yani that, the only thing that has a rightful place in one's heart is عبودية, worship. Yani submission to Allah, humbling oneself to Allah, lowering oneself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, he repeats again, rather wealth should be having the station or status of the toilet which a person is in need of, but it should not have a place in one's heart. And if one strives, yani in the matters of wealth, in collecting it, if one does so, it should be just like the fixing or the repair of the toilet. Yani it's the toilet is something that you're going to need, so you yani do some work to make sure that it is in order, so that it's working, so that when you need it, you can use it. And this is the way wealth should be, that we collect it yani because we're going to need some to take care of some affairs, and not more than that. Yani if a person strives to yani improve the situation of their wealth, then this is the same as the person who makes some effort to yani repair the toilet. This is because you're going to need it at some particular times. And likewise, wealth is the same way. A person is going to need to benefit from it in some particular affairs, like buying some food, or paying one's rent, or buying clothing, or so on and so forth. Here, the Shaykh, in his explanation, he mentions the hadith that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, حديث الحديث المرفوع الذي رواه الترمذي وغيره. يعني the hadith that is مرفوع means what? That it goes back to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, reported by الترمذي and others, that whoever wakes up in the morning and their greatest concern is the dunya, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will scatter their affairs and separate their affairs, that which is in their interests, yani their works, their deeds, their needs, Allah will scatter it. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ, and in the Arabic script it says لَمْ يَأْتِهِ, it should be لَمْ يَأْتِهِ, yani it's مَجْزُوم بِلَمْ, لَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا قُتِبَ لَهُ, and nothing will come to that person, yani who their greatest concern is the dunya, except what is already written for them, yani what is decreed for them. And whoever gets up in the morning while their greatest concern, أكبر حمه, is the akhirah, then Allah will join all of their affairs, will unite their affairs, bring them all together. وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ, and his contentment will be placed in his heart. His heart will be content. No matter what a person has of wealth or property, but if there's contentment in the heart, this is what the rich people who have everything in the dunya, if they don't have contentment, it doesn't benefit at all. But Allah will place contentment in the person's heart whose concern is the akhirah. وَأَتَتُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ الْرَاغِمَةِ, and the dunya, the worldly things will come to one while it is reluctant. Yani even if it didn't want to come. And I don't know what time we have here, but I do want to mention a hadith that is very dear to me, and it brings the meaning of this. I will see if we have time in the end. Naam. Okay, so the Shaykh, he said, after mentioning this hadith, he said, this is a great hadith. In it is a da'wah, a call, an invitation for the believer to not make make a place in their heart for the worldly affairs. Do not make a place in their heart, yani for wealth, yani that it has a special place in one's heart. إِنَّمَا يَجْعَلْ حَمَّهُ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعِيهُ لِلْآخِرَةِ, that a person should have as their concern the next life, and their striving and struggling should be for the next life. وَيَبْذُلُ مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ فِي تَحْسِيلِ الْمَالِ وَكَسْبِ الْمَالِ وَطَلَبِ الرِّزْقِ لكن لا يكون المال أكبر حمه ولا يكون أيضا مبلغ علمه. And here this is a very important point. The Shaykh is saying, in case a person got confused about what is being said here. يعني make your greatest concern the akhirah, and your striving should be for the akhirah. However, nonetheless, a person can exert themselves and utilize the means to achieve wealth. يعني to get some wealth, to seek some provisions. However, the wealth should not be your greatest concern. Nor should it be the extent of your knowledge. Yani just that you have knowledge of how to get money. Yani can you exert yourself to seek wealth? Naam. Seek your provision? Naam. Not only is it permissible, rather it's obligatory. But it shouldn't be your greatest concern. Here the Shaykh, he says, reflect on this dua. In it is a point, yani a mulahadha, a fa'idah, a benefit that is very important, fil bab, in the subject of the dunya and its place. I'm saying that he means here, in this bab, meaning the subject of the dunya and its place or its status with the worshipper of Allah. And in this dua, there's a very important point. In the dua, the Prophet ﷺ said in it, اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر حمنا ولا مبلغ علمنا. Yani, O Allah, do not make the world or the worldly things our greatest concern, nor the extent of our knowledge. Do not make it our greatest concern. The meaning of this is that it is mubah, it is permissible for an individual, and yahtamma, to make, yani to give, yani show some concern, yani to give some concern, naam, yahtam, yani as this is something important, show some importance for seeking wealth. Matlub min al-insan, rather it is required of the human being, and yahtam bi amri dunyahu, that he shows concern to the affair of his worldly life. And you take care of your home and your family and your children and your people who you're responsible to. Now, you have to show some concern for this. And you're not like a bum who don't care about your responsibilities. Rather, it is matlub, it is requested, required of you to show some concern for your dunya. The masali, wa rizq, wa baytihi. Yani for those things that are in your interests. For your provisions, for your home, to the end of this. It is required, matlub minhu an yahtam bihadha al-amr, that you give concern to this. Lakin la yaj'al هذه الأشياء هي أكبر حمه ومبلغ علمه. However, the point is what? Don't make it your greatest concern or the extent of your knowledge. Here, the Shaykh goes to the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, وقال بعد السلف, some of the righteous, or one of the righteous predecessors said, "Anta muhtaj ila dunya." Indeed, you are in need of the world and the things in the world, some of it. Wa anta ila nasibuka min al-akhirah ahwaj. But you are more in need. Ahwaj, yani ism tafdil. Ahwaj, you are more in need of your portion of the hereafter. Therefore, what should a person then do? Yani you are in need of the world, but you are more in need of your portion of the hereafter. So how do you work with this? What should a person do when this is their condition? Yani that they need the world, but the hereafter, they have a greater need for this. He said, the answer to this was, فَإِن بَدَعْتَ بِنَسِيبِكَ مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ مُرَّ عَلَى نَسِيبِكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا فَانْتَظِمْهُ انْتِظَامًا. Indeed, the solution is what? That you, if you begin, yani by seeking your portion of the hereafter, مُرَّ عَلَى نَسِيبِكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, then you will pass by, you will be caused to pass by in seeking your portion of the hereafter, yani you will pass over and come across and get, yani your portion of the dunya. So put it, yani your portion of the dunya, put it in its place. Put it in its rightful place. Don't make it your greatest concern, yani, or the thing that you start with. Rather, your primary, yani, concern should be seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the course of that, yani, you will get your needs, your concerns of the world fulfilled. And this is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, reported by Ibn Majah. The Shaykh doesn't mention it, but I'm mentioning it here. And this is the hadith that I thought to mention earlier, but it's appropriate right now. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man ja'ala al-humum hamman wahida, hamma akhirati." Man ja'ala al-humum hamman wahida. Whoever makes their concerns, the things that you're worried about, make them one concern. Which concern? Hamma akhirati. And he's concerned about the hereafter. من جعل الحموم حما واحدة حما آخرته. Then Allah كفاه الله حما الدنياه. Allah will suffice him his concerns for the world. Huh? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever makes their concerns into one concern, the main concern, the concern for the hereafter, Allah will suffice that person whatever concerns they have in the world. Yani the things of the world will come in place. It doesn't mean that you stay in the house and worship Allah and then provisions will come to you. It means that in the course of you making your primary focus on being obedient to Allah, then your worldly affairs will all fall in place. They will follow automatically. Allah will suffice you there. كَفَى اللَّهُ حَمَّ دُنْيَاهُ. This hadith is reported by Ibn Majah, and Shaykh al-Albani said in Mishkat, فِيهِ ضَعْف وَلَكِنْ لَهُ شَوَاهِد. Yani the isnad has some weakness in it, but they are shawahid, supporting evidences that raise it up. Very important, yani, affair, that a person realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we come to the ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and He's our provider. As Ibn Kathir mentions in the tafsir of the ayat in Surah Al-Dhariyat, that Allah is our creator and He is also our provider. If you are obedient to Allah and submit and surrender to Him and worship Him, then Allah will take care of, He will make your efforts for your worldly affairs fall in place. And you will make some effort, naam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the tawfiq so that those things will work out if you make your primary focus the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he says, yani, so if you begin with your portion of the hereafter, seeking that, then your portion of the dunya will come. Put it in its place. Yeah, and you put everything in its place. Get it done with the minimum amount of effort. Don't exert your efforts in seeking the dunya. Exert your efforts in earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This means, لا تجعله هو حمك. Yani don't make the dunya your most important affair. Rather, and do not make it the مبلغ علمك. Yani don't make seeking the worldly things the extent of your knowledge. That's all that you have knowledge of, and that's all that you are concerned with. But rather, يعني وإنما لك وجهة لك سفر لك مقصد. يعني you have a destination, you have a trip, you have a what, an intent, some place that you are trying to reach. And here he mentions, يعني it's actually a hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that's sahih, كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر السبيل أو عابر سبيل. Be in the world as though you are a stranger or one who is just passing along the way. عابر Sabilin, meaning that you're on a journey, you're on a trip, you have a destination, huh? You have a place that you are trying to يعني reach. And the world, you're just passing through it. And that's the way you should see it. يعني don't get stuck here. يعني don't get fixed here. Don't start setting up shop like you're going to be here forever. Rather, your time in this world is temporary. Some of us, we're stuck on this. And our whole effort is for this. We're building and collecting and gathering and making things good. And you're leaving here. This is not the destination. This is not the last stop. So the person should come to their worldly affairs, yani, putting them in their place. Walaikum salam. Not, don't become settled here. Don't make it, yani, let the dunya ta'akhud qalbak, yani, that it occupies your heart and your concerns and your thinking. All of your thoughts are about the dunya and your knowledge, the extent of your knowledge is only the dunya. And then this seeking the dunya takes you away. Amma khuliqa li ajlihi, from that which you have been created for, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal isti'dad wa tahayyu, yani that preparation, yani this is, yani don't let the seeking of the dunya take you away from the worship of Allah and you're getting prepared and making the way for the darul akhirah, for the next life. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, you're in need of the world, but you are more in need of your portion of the hereafter. So if you begin with your portion of the hereafter, then you will pass by your portion of the dunya. So put everything in its place. And here he mentions, yani the last, yani the final, yani evidence concerning this affair, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have not created jinn and men except to worship me. Here the shaykh says, لِمَاذَ جَاءَ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ, yani, why did Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah bring this ayat here at this point? Why did he bring this ayat? Think about it for a minute. Huh? From the topic that we are talking about, here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah closes this part of the answer by saying, this ayat from the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Why did he mention this ayat here? This is just something to think about, okay? The Shaykh, he says, and whatever you think he mentioned it for, the Shaykh, he says he mentioned it here for, to bring attention to the human being in this maqam, in this station, in this position, in this discussion, what we are talking about, this topic, أنه مخلوق للعبادة, to remind us that we have been created for worship. لم يخلق للدنيا, we have not been created for the world. ولم يخلق لهذا المال, we have not been created just to seek wealth. We have been created to worship Allah. We have, Allah says in the Quran, I have not created the jinn and men except to worship me. Therefore, that which we have been created, yani the thing for which we have been created, the thing for which we have been brought into existence, to achieve it, to realize it, هو الذي ينبغي أن يكون أكبر حمل الإنسان. This is what is more proper and befitting that a person make the greatest concern. The thing that you have been created for. The thing that we have been brought into existence for. And then the Shaykh, he says, and this is the thing that should be the مبلغ علم الإنسان. Yani this should be the range or the scope or the extent of a person's knowledge. Yani the most important thing that you should be concerned about having knowledge of is the affairs of the hereafter. Yani the things that earn the reward of Allah. The obligations and guidelines and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and hates. So that to know these things, this is what yani we should seek to know. To give concern and show concern and care to these things and to give precedence to these things over every other affair. And then the Shaykh, he closes yani with the rest of this ayat. Yani where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is that he says, I have not created the jinn and men except to worship me, and I do not want from them provisions, nor do I want from them to feed me or themselves or others of my creation. Indeed, Allah, He is the provider, and He is the one who possesses strength and yani might. Naam. After this, the Shaykh, he closes yani with what remains. Naam. He closes what remains. Yani the actual answer to the question of what is the best means of livelihood? Yani what is the best way for a person to make a living? Is it by trade, merchandising, yani building, construction? Yani what? What is the best farming? What is it? Grazing cattle? The Shaykh, he says, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, rahimahullah, as far as specifying one means of livelihood over another, such as sina'a, yani manufacturing, or tijara, trading, or bina'a, building, or hira. And it says hirafa, but this is actually a mistake. It should be hiratha. Hiratha. I checked some of the other copies of the book, and most of them, they have hiratha. And then the Shaykh confirms in his explanation, because he used the word zira'a. And zira'a means the same as hiratha. Yani with tha instead of fa. Yani farming. Yani manufacturing, or trade, or construction, or farming, or other than that. فَهَذَا يَخْتَلَفْ بِإِخْتِلَافَ النَّاسِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ فِي ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا عَامًّا. Yani this differs from one person to another. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, I don't know of anything that just is general, yani that there's one means of livelihood that generally is better than every other one, rather it will differ from one person to another. However, if a person, yani if there comes, yani opportunity presents itself to him in a certain area, then he should make istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani the istikhara that have been received from the teacher of khair, that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ فِيهَا مِنَ الْبَرَكَةِ مَا لَا يُحَاطُ بِهِ. Because indeed, yani in this istikhara, there's blessings which we cannot encompass, yani we cannot come to know fully or realize fully. ثُمَّ مَا يَتَيَسَّرَ لَهُ فَلَا يَتَكَلَّفْ غَيْرَهُ إِلَّا يَكُونَ مِنْهُ قَرَاهَ شَرَعِيَّ. And then if something is made easy, it's facilitated, yani Allah makes it easy for him to go into a certain field of livelihood to make a living, then he shouldn't leave that, making some effort in some other area, unless yani he leaves that thing because there's some yani shar'i, yani Islamic legal reason for disliking that means of livelihood. This is the end of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. And the Shaykh says in response, yani in his explanation of this, here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah enters into clarification of what was requested by the questioner that was asked concerning the best means of earning a livelihood. However, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, as mentioned previously, has yani first started with two important introductory statements. Al-Muqaddimah al-Ula, the first of them is related to putting reliance in Allah and exerting the means, the lawful, legally legislated means to achieve one's livelihood. And the second, Al-Muqaddimah al-Thaniya, is that a person takes or receives wealth with a spirit of generosity and not with the spirit of greed, yani just aspiring just to collect wealth for the sake of wealth. So the abd, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he takes wealth with this kind of spirit, yani just seeking it, desiring it, being covetous of it, then his heart becomes connected to that wealth and it causes a great harm to him or her. To the extent that a person's health, yani some of the people might even lose their life, or they might be afflicted, yani with, yani like a blood clot, yani some, yani something very harmful, or things like this, due to their heart being connected to wealth. And for this reason, one of the writers, and he wasn't from the Muslims, and he was speaking about shares or stocks, and this was something that was present a long time ago, meaning before it came to the Muslim lands, it was already present in the Western countries, yani the stock market and all of that. He said one of the people who was speaking about this from the Kufar, he said he was mentioning a reality that he himself seen, he witnessed himself, and he was saying that it is agreed upon that every time the person's stock went down, his blood sugar went up. Wow. And he also mentioned, and he related to this, that a person's blood pressure, and it would change accordingly. So these affairs, yani a person's health, yani being connected to, yani when the heart is connected to these things, yani his health or well-being, yani follows, yani is subject to the wealth which his heart is connected to. While if the person takes the wealth with a spirit of generosity, with an intent of sharing, and not just seeking and desiring it, then they would be, yani freed, they would be protected, they would escape, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, from these kinds of sicknesses, yani the sicknesses of the heart that's caused by a person's heart being connected to the worldly things. And likewise, when people have their hearts connected to wealth, then they are also afflicted with other types of sicknesses, like anxiety, or apprehension, or fear, or worry. And things like this, yani, will cause a lot of harm to a person's health and well-being. And finally, he says, وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنَ الْمَالِ إِلَّا مَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَهُ. And a person will not have anything of wealth except what Allah has, yani, apportioned, yani already decreed, divided up for that person. And this meaning has yani been mentioned and clarified by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in the hadith that we mentioned earlier, the hadith of At-Tirmidhi, that a person yani will only have yani that which is written for them. No matter how they go out seeking the dunya or the akhirah, a person will only get that which is written for them. So what yani the point here is, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, after he finished with these two important introductory statements, he goes into the actual question that the person asks about specification of one type of means of livelihood over another, whether it is manufacturing or trade or construction or farming or other than that. And this differs from one person to another. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, I don't know of any one thing that is generally yani preferable over another, such that a person can say that trade, yani tijara, is better, or farming is better, or raising cattle is better. Rather, he said, I don't know of anything general that covers any one of these things as being better than another. And perhaps we can say all of these things are included under what the Prophet ﷺ said, that the person's livelihood, the best livelihood of a person, is that which they earn with their own hands. And all of these are, yani, earning livelihood with one's hands. Except that they vary from one to another, but all of it is from the best ways of earning a living, that is, by a person, livelihood being from their own, the work of their own hands, not yani the work of somebody else. However, if a person, yani he says, the Shaykh is saying, an explanation of this, if a person, yani yamdi fima yuyassiruhu Allah min dhalik, yani if a person actually enters into and travels along a path that Allah has made easy for them, and that his nafs, yani is inclined to, Allah has opened the way for you, and yani you feel good about it, yani the nafs is inclined to it, because indeed, some of the people are inclined towards yani manufacturing, some of the people are inclined towards farming, and some of the people are inclined towards other things. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, I don't know of any one of them generally that's better than another. However, if something is presented, opportunity is presented to a person, a certain area, then what they should do in this situation. Yani, it's available. It became accessible to them, and their nafs is inclined towards it. They don't have any aversion to it. Then they should make istikhara to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The istikhara that came from the Mu'allim al-Khayr, the teacher of good, that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They should pray the prayer of istikhara, and then they should recite the dua that's narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed, in this istikhara, in praying the istikhara, there's blessings that yani we cannot encompass, that we cannot know all of it. Then if Allah has made it easy from any of the ways of earning a living, then a person, if Allah has made some way easy for you, then a person should not turn away from that. Because some of the people we find that they are yani muttarib, kathir al-tanaql, yani they do not remain stable in any one thing. They're always going from one area to another, switching from something to something else. They are not stable. They're not firm on one thing. They are not settled. Yani they cannot make a decision about something. So here, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying, if Allah has made something easy for you, then don't exert yourself in something else, leaving that, unless in that thing there's some dislike, yani in it because of a Sharia reasoning, yani something in the Sharia due to which you dislike that thing, and therefore you will leave it for that reason. And otherwise, if a person fears that there is something prohibited in that area, nam, then that's different. Otherwise, if a person went into a certain area and their nafs is inclined toward, and they started taking steps in that area, and Allah, then they should continue in that area, and they should not leave that thing for something else, except for yani they detest it for some Sharia reason. And with this statement, yani Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he ended yani this particular area of discussion yani concerning the best means of livelihood that was requested from him from the questioner. And what remains yani is one more affair of the four affairs that this Al-Wasiyya Sughra deals with. One more affair, and that is the books that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah yani advise the reading of. And at this point, the Shaykh, he makes a lengthy, very very lengthy dua, beautiful dua, a lot of supplication from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The meaning of them in summary is that we ask Allah al-Kareem, Rabbul Arsh al-Azim, yani the Lord of the mighty Arsh, to grant all of us success in doing that which He loves and He is pleased with, from correct actions and from correct speech and correct actions. And oh Allah, rectify for all of us our worldly affairs, our deen, our yani religious affairs, which are the protection for all of our affairs, and rectify for us our worldly affairs, which contain our livelihood, and rectify for us our hereafter, which yani entails yani where yani our return in the next life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where, what will be our destination, and make this life an increase for us in every khair, and death a means of rest from every evil. Allah, forgive the sins of the sinners, and accept the repentance of those who repent, and make a way for those who have concerns, and open up those who are in trouble, yani open up the way for them, relieve them, and fulfill the debts of those who are in debt, and heal those who are sick, our sick and the sick from amongst the other Muslims, and have mercy upon our dead and the dead of the other Muslims. O Allah, grant our souls taqwa, and purify our souls. Indeed, you are the one who purifies, and you are the wali and the mawla, yani our support and protector and helper. And O Allah, divide up for us, or give us a portion of khashya, fear of you, that will come between us and disobedience to you, and a portion of obedience, so that we can reach through it Jannah and certainty that will make light, will make easy for us the calamities of this world that are going to befall us. And yani, O Allah, make us to enjoy our hearing and our sight and our other strengths as long as we are living, and make them the last of what remains from us, yani our hearing and our sight and our other strengths that will be good for us, and make us yani, getting back with those who have oppressed us, and helping those who have opposed us or made enmity against us. And do not make our calamity to be a calamity in our deen, and do not make the dunya our greatest concern, and do not make it the extent of our knowledge, and do not place over us in yani authority over us those who will not have mercy upon us. And then he said, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika nabiyyin Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. This is the end of this topic, and inshallah in the next week we'll go to the last topic that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah explains about the books that he will advise yani the person to read, especially in hadith and then in other matters. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question about what we discussed tonight, any question about anything that we mentioned tonight? Naam, Abu Bakr.
What about some of those that are coming from third world countries?
Naam.
Traveling distance to seek our sustenance.
And a person who came from another country and they travel in the distance to seek their sustenance. Naam.
It's not in your country.
Okay, they're not finding the means in their country. Yeah?
Is that considered?
Yeah, and it's permissible for a person to travel in the earth and seek the bounty of Allah. Naam, it's permissible. But yani, I would only say that we should be concerned, right? What we should be concerned about, and I'm saying this yani, fully aware of what I'm saying, that it's permissible for a person to travel to another city or another state or another country in general to seek their means of livelihood. Yani, this is one of the lawful, legal, legislated reasons for hijrah, that a person migrates to seek lawful sustenance if they can't find lawful sustenance in their country. But I would caution us to be careful that we don't leave a land of the Muslims for the land of the kuffar, to seek sustenance in the land of the kuffar, because they have more wealth in general. Rather, Allah is the one who possesses everything in the heavens and the earth, and He is the provider, and Allah is sufficient. And Allah is really sufficient. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَل لَّهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And this is the promise of Allah. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, whoever, this is a shart, whoever observes taqwa of Allah, يَجْعَل لَّهُ مَخْرَجًا, Allah will make a way out from any situation or circumstance. وَيَرْزُقْهُ, and that's the jawab of shart, and Allah will provide him, guaranteed. Allah will provide that person from where they didn't imagine. So a person has to know that Allah is the provider. Wherever you are on the earth, Allah is the provider. So we should try to keep that in mind, meaning that if a person travels to another land for lawful sustenance, it shouldn't be at the expense of their deen. Meaning that you leave the land of the Muslims where you're able to worship Allah, and go to the land of the kuffar to get money where you're not able to worship Allah. If that is the situation, then we should not do it. If that's not the situation, then it's lawful. But not at the expense of our deen. Some people leave the lands of the Muslims where they're able to worship Allah, and they go to the land of the kuffar where they're not able to worship Allah. And I know some people will say, and I'm going to stop here, I don't want to go into a long answer about this, because we can go all night with this. Some people say, but we have more freedom in the land of the kuffar, and wallahi, الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ, This is debatable. And whoever doesn't see it yet, you might live in a little few days to see it more clearly. And Allah knows best. Any question about what we talked about tonight? Muhammad.
حديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أكل ابن آدم طعام خير من عمل يده. ما معنى هذا؟
يعني that a person didn't eat any food. يعني there's absolutely no food that a person can eat, meaning their sustenance, their provisions, that is better than the sustenance that they earn from the work of their hands, meaning that their own labor. يعني even if a person use other than their hands, but their own labor, it could be whatever. يعني maybe they use their feet to drive a car, but they use their hands to steer it too, right? Whatever. But the person who makes their livelihood from their own work, not by oppressing other people, but rather by working yourself, whatever it is, in a lawful way. Now this is the best, yani, food that a person can eat from. That which they earn with their own hands. And this was the work of what? The Prophet? Huh? Dawood. Dawood alayhi salam. Naam. He used to only eat from the sustenance that he earned with his own hands. And from our contemporary scholars, we have a great example in what? Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah. He left the work that he was involved in because he said it was too time consuming. And then he learned from his father how to fix watches. He said he'd just work for a little bit of time, make enough money for the day, and go to the library and study and research and learn. Yani, meaning what? What is the example of this? The example is that he would just open his shop long enough to make enough money for that day. Once he had enough for the day, khalas, I'm out of here. This is not my objective, yani, collecting money. I just need enough to live by and that's it, I'm good. And now I'm going to go and do what's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spent so many hours in that library, right? Until they gave him the key to the library. So he came before the people who worked there and he left after they were gone. And they gave him a room just for himself to study in. His own private room in the library. And that's because what? His heart was dedicated to the matters of the hereafter. And our hearts might be dedicated to something else. And that's why tonight, inshallah, hopefully it's something for us to reflect upon, to kind of, and a review at least, to review our direction and where we're going, and see if there needs some modification. If it doesn't, alhamdulillah. And if it does, then let's do it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.